Lecture 8 Teaching Prep, Part 3, The New Chromatophore Framing Block. Hey, Michael. This is Part 3 of your prep for Lecture 8, and it is a focus briefing on a block of material you have just added to the top of the pigments section. Part 1 was your neural processing prep. Part 2 was the pigments block as originally designed. This Part 3 covers the four new slides that now sit between the Block 2 title card and the What is a Pigment slide, and it explains what those slides are doing, how they should land in the room, and how they change the rhythm of the pigments block. Listen to this on the commute in. It is about 10 minutes long, and it is the last thing you need before you walk in. Let's start with the big idea. Your original pigments block jumped directly from the Block 2 title to the chromophore and conjugation chemistry. That was efficient, but it skipped a level. Students needed to know where in the animal's body color lives, and they needed a conceptual anchor for the fact that some animal colors are not pigments at all. The new four-slide opener fixes that. It goes cell, then mechanism, then a short detour on white, then evolution. Only after all of that do you reach the chromophore slide. Here is the arc slide 1. Where does color live in an animal body? Slide 2, chromatophores use two mechanisms, pigments or structure. Slide 3, does a white pigment actually exist? Slide 4, why mammals only have melanocytes, the nocturnal bottleneck again. Total added time, about 7 minutes. To absorb it, compress the opponency TPS debrief at the start of Block 2 and the MC1 are convergence examples in Block 2, 1 minute off each gets you close. Now the substance of each new slide. Slide 1 is the cellular framing. The core message is this. In animals, color is produced by specialized cells called chromatophores, and in vertebrates, every single one of those cells traces to the neural crest. You do not need to teach neural crest development in depth. You just need students to hold on to two facts. First, color in a vertebrate is not chemistry painted onto the skin. It is the output of a developmental cell lineage that migrates during embryogenesis. Second, the vertebrate starter kit includes 6 distinct chromatophore types, of which 3 are pigment-based and 2 are structural, and 1 is a weird outlier. The table on the right of the slide does the work of introducing all 6. Do not read every row. Point to it. Say 3 of these are pigment cells, 2 are structural cells. 1 is a blue pigment oddity found mainly in mandarin fish. Then move on. A good verbal line for this slide, color in a zebra is not zebra pigment. It is melanocytes where they should be, plus a spatial developmental program telling them when to turn on. That line sticks and previews the pattern placement theme you hit later with MC1, R, and zebra stripes. One trap, do not get pulled into a tangent on neural crest derivatives. If a student asks, you can say, yes, the neural crest is sometimes called the fourth germ layer. It also produces Schwann cells, peripheral neurons, jaw cartilage, and much of the skull. Come to office hours, and we can talk about why evolutionary biologists find that so interesting. Then advance. Slide 2 is the conceptual pivot. Chromatophores use two mechanisms, pigment absorption or structural scattering and interference. Two columns, side by side. Pigment-based chromatophores, melanophores, xanthophores, erythrophores, contain colored molecules whose chromophores absorb specific wavelengths. The color lives in the molecule's electrons. Structural chromatophores, iridophores, and leucophores, contain no colored pigment at all. The color lives in the cell's architecture. You are going to want to linger on iridophores for about 15 seconds because students will not have encountered them before. The line that works, iridophores are filled with stacks of guanine crystals, alternating with layers of cytoplasm. Light entering that stack reflects off every interface. When the layer thicknesses are tuned to visible wavelengths, you get constructive interference. Same physics as a soap bubble, a peacock feather, or an oil slick. That is how a goldfish gets its silver belly. That is how a chameleon changes color, by actively spacing the crystals closer or further apart. Leucophores get one sentence, dense purine granules, broadband scattering, diffuse white, the way snow and milk are white. You do not need to do more than that. Slide 3 will come back to leucophores. The punchline for slide 2 is the line at the bottom, same embryological lineage, two completely different physics. Say that explicitly. Then make the pointer to Lex 9 and 10. Tell them, We focus on the pigment side today because it is the simpler story. The structural side, where most of the spectacular blues and greens in nature come from, is LEC 9 and 10. Keep that pointer in your head as we move through the pigment families. Slide 3 is the "Does a white pigment actually exist?" aside. This is the slide that fixes a real conceptual sloppiness that used to haunt the Terran section. The original Terran slide said Leucopteran produces white. That is the shorthand, but it is misleading because Leucopteran itself absorbs only in the UV and is colorless to our eyes. The white cabbage wing color is a scattering phenomenon, not an absorption phenomenon. You need 90 seconds on this slide. Not more. Just walk through the three mechanisms. First, scattering crystals, Leucopteran in pyrids, guanine in fish leucophores. The pigment absorbs in the UV. The white is physical scattering. Second, absence of a working pigment, zebra white stripes, piebald mammals, vitiligo, albino animals. The melanocytes are missing or silenced or broken. No chromatic absorber, so the tissue scatters broadly. Third, scattering keratin, polar bear fur with its hollow air-filled medulla, air pockets inside feather barbs. Physical scattering structures, not pigments. The rule you want in their notebooks, white in animals is either a missing pigment or a scattering structure. Never a molecule that absorbs every color of white. Tell them explicitly that this matters for the Terran slide later in the lecture. You will remind them when you get there. Slide 4 is the payoff slide. Why mammals only have melanocytes, the nocturnal bottleneck again. This is the second time you have invoked the nocturnal bottleneck in this course. The first time was for opsin loss and mammalian dichromacy in the photoreceptor evolution lecture. Today you are using it to explain the chromatophore complement. Point that out. Say, the same evolutionary episode that shaped what mammals can see also shaped what mammals can look like. Both the input and the output of the color system passed through the same bottleneck. That is the line. The comparative table on the right does the work. Fishes, 5 or 6 chromatophore types. Amphibians, 3. Reptiles, 3 or 4. Birds, 1 chromatophore type, just the melanocyte, but they reinvented structural color using keratin nanostructures in feather barbs. Mammals, 1. Just melanocytes. Full stop. The two reasons mammals lost the others, relaxed selection during the nocturnal bottleneck, plus fur getting in the way of iridophore signaling anyway. Both matter. Primary cause is neural crest fate loss during the bottleneck. Secondary is the fur compatibility issue. The line that really lands in the room, that is why your cat is always a variation on black, brown, or orange, never teal, silver, or iridescent blue. Students love that line. It cashes out the whole story in a concrete image they can picture instantly. Deliver it, pause, advance. After slide 4, you hit the "What is a pigment?" chromophore slide, and from there you are back to the original part 2 script. Everything from the chromophore slide onward is unchanged. A few things to watch for. First, do not let the 4 intro slide sprawl. They are supposed to be framing, not a deep dive. 7 minutes total. If you find yourself on slide 1 for more than 2 minutes, advance. If you find yourself explaining thin film interference mechanics in detail on slide 2, stop and say physics next week and advance. The students do not need to understand iridophore optics today. They just need to know iridophores exist and are not pigment cells. Second, the white pigment slide is an aside. Do not build it up as a major concept. Walk through the three mechanisms quickly, state the rule, and move on. The reason you want to flag it now is purely so that when students hear Leucopteran white 15 minutes later, they think scattering instead of white pigment chromophore. That is the only job that slide needs to do. Third, the nocturnal bottleneck callback is the emotional peak of the new block. Give it the full delivery. The connection between opsin loss and chromatophore loss as two outputs of the same historical event is exactly the kind of synthesis students remember. This is also where you get to reward students who have been paying attention all quarter. They know what the nocturnal bottleneck is. They know mammals are mostly dichromatic, and now you are using those prior facts as building blocks. Slow down. Land it. Fourth, when you finally get to the chromophore slide after the 4 new intro slides, you may feel the energy dip. It's a lot of setup. Pick up the pace. The Chromo 4 slide is a conceptually dense slide that deserves the full 4 minutes of original material, the spring analogy, the conjugation length axis, the demo 3 callback. Do not skip any of that to recover time. Recover time later, in the MC1 are examples, and the opponent's TPS debrief. One more timing note. The Terran Gallery slide now has a new click reveal where you give the white pigment clarification a second time. Keep it short, 15 seconds. Just say, remember the rule from the opening framing. Leucopteran absorbs in the UV. The wing is white because the crystals scatter. White is a missing pigment or a scattering structure, never a chromophore. Then move to porphyrins. Big picture, the new framing block does 3 things at once. It gives students a cellular anchor so the rest of the pigment chemistry has somewhere to sit. It flags structural color as a mechanism so the mystery of blue slide later in the lecture lands cleanly. And it gives you another return to the nocturnal bottleneck narrative that has been running through the whole course. The cost is 7 minutes. The payoff is a much more coherent block too. You have this. Trust the architecture. Trust the students. Trust your instinct to move when you are tempted to overexplain. Have a great lecture.